Sovereign God, For Us and Through Us, by David Eales. Chapter 2. God's Sovereignty in Creating the Scriptures. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. There is no mistaking the fact that the Bible claims God as its author. It seems fantastic that God could give perfect thoughts to imperfect men and make sure that what they write is perfectly inspired. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "Every scripture inspired of God, which is Greek for is God-breathed, is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness." He was so perfectly sovereign in this that it was said that he used men's mouths. Luke 1, verse 70 says, "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old." Jeremiah 1, verse 9 says, "The Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." The prophets themselves also claimed this by prefacing their words with, "Thus saith the Lord." Jesus not only said that his words were from God, but that they also would judge us, and that they are eternal life. John 12, verse 48 says, "He that rejecteth me, and receiveth not my sayings, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me. He hath given me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. The things therefore which I speak, even as the Father hath said unto me, so I speak." Jesus passed on this inspiration to those whom he sent. Matthew 10, verse 40 says, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." New Testament teachers and prophets like Paul claim this inspiration. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37 says, "If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord." Can the divine inspiration of Scriptures be proven? In this book, I will relate to you a few miracles that have happened to me, which have no reasonable explanation other than the supernatural power of a living, loving God who reacts to our faith in the Scriptures. The most impressive miracle to me is what happened to me when a friend challenged me to read the Scriptures. I was not at all convinced that God wrote them, and I was, I thought, fairly happy living in sin. I enjoyed my dope, alcohol, hobbies, and generally pleasing myself with no desire to serve God or to be holy. However, I had a curiosity about the supernatural fulfillment of prophecies thousands of years old that were attributed to the Bible. So having never had an interest in reading, I started to read. At the time, I really did not know what was happening to me. This was the first time I really could not put a book down. I found myself neglecting everything I held dear in the world, reading almost every spare moment. Before long, I really wanted to know the one who wrote this book, and I knew him to be God. About this time, I noticed that my stash of dope had been sitting in the cabinet untouched and my almost finished Kawasaki Z1 show chopper got no attention. This just was not the old me. My ski boat, race car, school bus, camper, and gun collection all fared the same. I eventually sold or gave them away. I knew that God's hand was upon me to reveal himself to me. When we put the Word in us, we put God in us. He is the Word, see John 1, verse 1. I found myself wanting to obey what I was reading. When the Word said to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I did. I found sin was running off me like water off a duck's back. When my relatively new TV got in the way, I got rid of it too. I respected the Word more than men or religion because of its power to deliver and bless. Can the divine inspiration of Scripture be proven scientifically? Science is observable and demonstrable. My testimony is just that to those who knew me and to myself, but for further skeptics, I will share another miracle. Ivan Panin was exiled from Russia because he was involved in a plot against the Tsar, and he eventually came to the United States.
Through his studies, Dr. Pannon acquired the equivalent of 3 PhDs in philosophy, mathematics, and English. Among other things, Dr. Pannon taught mathematics at Harvard University. In fact, Albert Einstein was one of his students. Friends considered both Dr. Pannon and Dr. Einstein to have IQs of 200. Dr. Pannon's training, devotion to Christ, and the scriptures well equipped him for his future work. Here, he found his life's work in scientifically proving the divine inspiration of scriptures. For 50 years, Dr. Pannon devoted 12 to 18 hours a day to this work.
The basis for his revelation, which he called numerics, was the ancient Hebrew Old Testament and Greek New Testament scriptures. The Hebrews and Greeks used their letters also for their numbers. In other words, the whole Bible was actually written in numbers also. What Dr. Pannon discovered is that when he used the numbers, the 66 books of the Bible showed a pattern of numbers and divisibility that no other writing had. He diligently researched other Hebrew and Greek writings and found no pattern. This included the apocryphal books added in the Catholic and other early Protestant Bibles, including the original King James Version before its revision. I have read Dr. Pannon's work for many years and am totally impressed. Below is a small sample of his volumes of work from a pamphlet called Astounding New Discoveries. The number 7 is by far the most common number used in the surface text of the Bible, used in Revelation alone more than 50 times, but it is also common beneath the surface of the whole Bible. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Feature 1. The number of Hebrew words in this verse is exactly 7. Feature 2. The number of letters in the 7 words is exactly 28, or 4 sevens. Feature 3. The first 3 7 Hebrew words contain the subject and predicate of the sentence. These 3 words are translated, "In the beginning God created." The number of letters in these first 3 Hebrew words is exactly 14, or 2 sevens. The last 4 of these 7 words contain the object of the sentence. These 4 words are translated, "the heavens and the earth." The number of letters in these last 4 Hebrew words is 14, or 2 sevens. Feature 4. These last 4 Hebrew words consist of 2 objects. The first is "the heavens," and the second is "and the earth." The number of letters in the first object is exactly 7. The number of letters in the second object is 7. Feature 5. The 3 leading words in this verse of 7 words are "God," the subject, and "heavens" and "earth," the objects. The number of letters in these 3 Hebrew words is exactly 14, or 2 sevens. The number of letters in the other 4 words of the verse is 14, or 2 sevens. Feature 6. The shortest word is in the middle. The number of letters in this word and the word to its left is exactly 7. Feature 7. The number of letters in the middle word and the word to its right is exactly 7. The above are only a few examples of the many amazing numeric facts which have been discovered in the structure of this first verse of only 7 Hebrew words. Literally dozens of other phenomenal numeric features strangely underlie the structure of this verse. Many additional features were given in the complete 167-page edition of Astounding New Discoveries, copyright 1941 by Carl Saviors, a student of Pannon. Some later versions were edited or even plagiarized to prove poor manuscripts. Thus, according to the law of chances, for 24 features to occur in a passage accidentally, there is only one chance in 191 quintillion, 581 quadrillion, 331 trillion, 380 billion, 566 million, 414,000, 401. The nomenclature herein used is the American, not the British. Many brief Bible passages have as many as 70 or 100 or more amazing numeric features in the very structure of their text. If there is only one chance in quintillions that 24 features could occur together accidentally, what would the chance be for 70 features to occur together accidentally? When there is only one chance in thousands for something to happen accidentally, it is already considered highly improbable that it will occur at all. When there is only one chance in hundreds of thousands, it is considered practically impossible. But here there is one chance in not only millions, but billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions, that merely 24 features could occur together in a passage accidentally. If that was not enough to convince any sane man, there are patterns of 8s, 11s, 13s, 17s, 19s, 23s, 37s, 43s, etc. on top of the 7s throughout the Word. Larger patterns connect book to book, Old Testament to New Testament, and show the correct order of the books. What all this proves is that one divine, brilliant mind wrote the Bible rather than 33 simple men with relatively no schooling who lived in different countries over a span of 1,600 years. If men wrote the Bible, they would have all had to live at the same time and place and all been mathematic geniuses. Then they would have each had to write their books last with the knowledge of the numeric pattern in all the other books. Men have tried to write a simple numeric text with very few features and failed miserably. The Hebrews had extremely stringent rules for the scribes to follow in copying the ancient manuscripts. God did this through them in order to preserve this pattern of perfection in the scriptures, that we might have the God-breathed Word of God. If a Greek or Hebrew letter is added, removed, or changed, the pattern breaks in that text. The main problem today in making Bibles is deciding which manuscript to use. It makes common sense to use only ancient manuscripts, which were close to the original with less likelihood of human mistake. Using a copy of a copy of a copy, etc., makes no sense, and yet, because of prejudices or lack of availability of ancient manuscripts, some have made Bibles from these. Needless to say, the ancient manuscripts proved to be much more numeric. What God has done through numerics is to give us a method by which we can find out which manuscript is right and where each one is right or wrong. Numerics has made searching multiple translations obsolete. It also makes it possible to find out which translation is the most accurate. In comparing the Bibles up through the early 1900s, Dr. Pannon rated the Revised Version, which was slightly revised for Americans and called the American Standard Version, as, quote, head and shoulders above its competitors. Before discovering Dr. Pannon's work, I came to this conclusion from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words and comparing manuscripts. I want to say that in almost any Bible you pick up, you will find the needed knowledge of salvation and holiness. Some may want to start with easy reader versions until they gain a little knowledge, but for the finer points in teaching, accuracy is important. Toward this end, Dr. Pannon worked diligently. Two outstanding results of his work are the numerically correct Numeric English New Testament and the Numeric Greek New Testament. In my own research, I consider them the most accurate on the market. Here is another proof of God's signature beneath the scriptures.
There are words or word groups or verses that, when added up, have values that tend to connect things theologically and sometimes show up in the surface text. Here are a few examples of this with my notes, which prove God's sovereign design in the scriptures. Notice that the divisibility also connects things to each other. Some researchers have been very lenient and have connected values that deviate as much as plus or minus 3, but we have done our own research and have used only exact matches. Example: add up the numbers in Jesus and you get 888 in Greek. This is divisible by 111, which also identifies him. Mark 1:24, Nazarene equals 111 times 2. Revelation 6:10, Master the Holy equals 111 times 11. Isaiah 52:10, Salvation of our God equals 888. Malachi 3:6, I the Lord change not equals 888. Colossians 3:24, the Lord Christ equals 888 times 5. Some hidden values show up in the surface text. Surface text, John 21:11, drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. Hidden in the values, Luke 9:13, fishes equals 153 times 8. John 21:11, the net equals 153 times 8. Matthew 4:18, casting a net into the sea equals 153 times 20. Genesis 6:1, Sons of God equals 153. Matthew 7:13. The narrow gate equals 153 times 13. Surface text. Revelation 13:18. The number of the beast is 666. Hidden in the values. Matthew 8:25. Perish equals 666. John 9:14. Made clay equals 666. Revelation 11:18. And to destroy them that destroy the earth equals 666 times 5. Notice from the surface text and these examples that 666 ties together the beast and all who perish from this fallen physical creation of clay. Surface text, Revelation 14:1. Behold the Lamb, and with him 144,000. Hidden in the values, Luke 3:17. Gather the wheat into his garner equals 144 times 18. Luke 22:1. The unleavened bread equals 144 times 17. Revelation 2:13. My faithful one equals 144 times 10. Revelation 2:17. New name equals 144 times 3. Revelation 19:7. The marriage of the Lamb and his wife equals 144 times 24. John 17:6. The men whom thou gavest equals 144 times 25. Revelation 8:3. Saints equals 144 times 6. Notice that 144 ties together God's kingdom of the righteous elect. Some may think gematria like these show the opposite. Luke 17:29. Brimstone equals 144. Matthew 6:9. Hallowed equals 666 times 2. However, in the scriptures, the saints are likened to a fire that burns up the wicked, and the wicked are used to hallow the righteous through crucifixion. While the number 666 identifies those who manifest the name, which is Greek for character and authority, of the beast on their forehead in Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, the number 144 identifies those who have the name, which is Greek for character and authority, of Jesus and the Father on their foreheads in Revelation 14:1. I hope you get the idea. These were some of the shorter phrases. The whole Bible is full of this connection of doctrines by common values like 100, 111, 144, 153, 276, 666, 700, 1000, 1500, etc.
Del Washburn continued to research and wrote several more books on theomatics. Another fantastic mathematical proof of the inspiration of scriptures has been discovered. It has been popularly called the Bible Code, which is also the name of the first book on the subject by Michael Drosnin. Below is a summary of things gleaned from his book. John Maynard Keynes, who was provost of Cambridge University, discovered the papers of an earlier provost from 1696, Sir Isaac Newton. Keynes, who wrote Newton's biography, reported that most of Newton's writings were not about math, gravity, or the solar system, but theology. He reported that Newton believed there was a code in the Bible that recorded human history, past and future. Newton had been diligently searching for this for many years before he died. The genius of Vilna, an 18th century sage, said, "The rule is that all that was, is, and will be under the end of time is included in the Torah, from the first word to the last word. And not merely in a general sense, but as to the details of every species and each one individually, and details of everything that happened to him from the day of his birth until his end." More than 55 years ago, Rabbi Weissmandl of Czechoslovakia discovered that if he picked every 49th, or 7 times 7, letter from the first Tav in Genesis and Exodus, the word Torah was spelled out in both books. In Numbers and Deuteronomy, Torah was spelled out backwards. Obviously, these are all pointing to the middle book of the five books of the Torah, Leviticus, which has YHWH with a skip sequence of 7. We see that all of the law points to God. Dr. Eliyahu Rips, a renowned Israeli mathematician, got the idea and eventually unlocked this code by computer, an instrument that his predecessors lacked. His findings have been affirmed by first-class mathematicians around the world in scientific journals, at Harvard, Yale, and Hebrew University, where he is associate professor of mathematics. He has termed this code as equidistant letter sequences, or ELS. The sequences can skip one or many thousands of letters and can go from right to left or left to right in the text with the same letter being used more times than we know. This makes layer on top of layer on top of layer, etc., of information beneath the text of the scriptures. Of course, words with few letters can be found randomly in other writings this way. However, in scriptures, the words, phrases, or sentences grouped with other related words, phrases, or sentences of different skip sequence in the same text make this happening by chance beyond the realm of reason. Since Michael Drosnin's book, many Bible code software have become available. By using this software, volumes of discoveries are being made around the world. I have found discoveries with my own software. A friend found my wife's name and my own with our marriage date. Another friend found his family tree. If relatively unimportant things are found, just think about how much is actually there. It is probable that the genius of Vilma is correct. Future revelations are harder to come by because a person must have some kind of idea what to ask the software to search for. Drosnin found the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin in the year it was predicted, a year before it actually happened. He also warned the Prime Minister, but sadly the prediction was fulfilled on time. Later, the assassin's name was also found. He also found 2 months in advance of the collision of the following: Shoemaker Levy, Will Pound Jupiter, 8th AV, July 16th. Another thing that has been found is that the surface text is many times connected to the code beneath it. Drosnin shared an example of this in Daniel 12, verse 4, where computer is encoded beginning with the words, "Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." It is clear that the information sealed up in the Bible code could not be revealed until the time of the end when computers became available. Confirming this fact, beginning in Deuteronomy 12, verse 11, Bible code is encoded, and in Deuteronomy 12, verse 12, sealed before God is encoded. A few of the other codes found in his book are the Holocaust, the moon landing, World War II, Watergate with the impeachment, the Wright brothers with their airplane, Edison with his light bulb, Newton with gravity, both Kennedy assassinations with the assassins, Bill Clinton's election, the Oklahoma City bombing with Murrah Building and Timothy McVeigh, etc. Most of these are given with pertinent information and sometimes dates. Also, there are future warnings of nuclear world wars, comets, and asteroids striking the Earth, terrible earthquakes, plagues, economic collapse, etc. Most of these are given with pertinent information and many times dates. Some of these are warnings, just as Jonah warned Nineveh, which are conditional upon man's actions, and some are prophecies that will surely come to pass. The above codes have been in the Torah for over 3,000 years. Even more important proof of God's sovereignty and the inspiration of scriptures are the hundreds of prophecies in the surface text and the thousands of prophecies in the types and shadows of all the Bible that are consistently coming true after 2,000 to 3,000 years. No psychic, palm reader, crystal ball reader, prognosticator, etc. can do such a thing, as Daniel also said. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in which was hidden the future of the kingdoms of the world until the end. When the devil's false prophets could not reveal the dream or the future therein, Daniel by the Spirit of God did. First he told the king of his error in seeking the future from these people. Daniel 2, verse 27 says, "The secret which the king hath demanded can neither wise men, enchanters, magicians, nor soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he hath made known what shall be in the latter days." Only a sovereign God could reveal to the king this future revelation of the history of the world. It is evident that the devil and his prophets cannot accurately predict the future because he has no sovereignty to bring it to pass. He can predict in the short term what he plans to bring to pass that is also ordained of God, but since all of his plans are not ordained, he makes many false prophecies. Codes have been found recently throughout the Bible by various other researchers, such as Jesus' name found throughout the Old Testament beneath prophecies of the coming Messiah, the World Trade Center attack, the involvement of Osama bin Laden, the anthrax attack, the soon-coming nuclear wars, the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein's missile attack on Israel, Yasser Arafat and his war on Israel, the Enron catastrophe and its domino effect, the coming one-world currency, Flight 587, Flight 800 hit by a missile, the coming national ID card, the future bombing of the United States by Al-Qaeda and bin Laden, the future nuclear attack by terrorists, the terrible government decisions that take away freedoms, abortion bringing the wrath of God, etc. Numerics, theomatics, and the Bible code are several of the many different types of hidden codes found in scriptures. I am convinced that a combination of these will uncover the greatest mysteries. To Bible code researchers of the New Testament, I have some advice. Use Dr. Pannon's numerically correct Numeric Greek New Testament, and you will find more and longer codes because only one letter added or subtracted from the original will destroy the numeric pattern in the text. Only a mind beyond our comprehension could have designed these simultaneously beneath an intelligible text. Dear friends, since God has made His Word so impressively exact, do you think He would ever depart from it? Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Psalms 89, verse 34 says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." Hebrews 6, verse 18 says, "It is impossible for God to lie." Since this is true and God has spoken, He has bound His actions by His Word. His Word not only sets the conditions for eternal life, but also sets the conditions for blessing and cursing in our earthly life. There is nothing more important than studying God's Word that we may learn to live in God's kingdom, and in so doing, avoid the curses and live under the blessings.